to the very first podcast for livingsafe.com.au. My first guest is Elizabeth Jackson, who is the president of the non-profit organisation Choose Cruelty Free. Welcome, Liz.
Hi, Nick. Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. So, when did Choose Cruelty Free start? What year was it?
1993.
So, the process of being on the Choose Cruelty Free shopping list is companies need to fill in a questionnaire. How would a company go about contacting you and getting that questionnaire?
Well, first of all, we send them a list of questions. That's really just to find out more about them. If we're satisfied with their answers, we then send them the official questionnaire. They have to answer all the questions. There's about 32 questions.
That is a lot of questions.
It is, but it was set up by our solicitor, and it's very accurate, and it really proves if the company is telling the truth or not.
I don't think there's anyone else around the world that's got a questionnaire that's quite extensive and detailed as the Choose Cruelty Free one. Would I be right in saying that?
Well, we are very strict, and it's probably the strictest in the world.
Yeah.
We are one of three groups that
can accredit companies as cruelty free.
Yes, that's correct.
What are the other two groups?
One is PETA in America, and the other's Cruelty Free International in the UK.
Right. I do know personally, as a hair and makeup artist with PETA, there's a lot of companies on their list that are quite questionable. Therefore, I'm always sort of encouraging people to steer clear of that, even though they do a lot of good work, and I'm always pushing people towards Choose Cruelty Free because of the dedication to go deeper and to really unearth if any companies are hiding things about animal testing, because a lot of companies do that, don't they? They may claim that they're wonderful and cruelty-free and all against animal testing, but what are some of the loopholes?
We were concerned that some companies weren't telling us the truth. So we now ask their suppliers have to fill out a questionnaire, and they have to prove that they are also cruelty-free.
Right. So one of the loopholes, I guess, was the company was saying, we're not testing on animals, but that didn't necessarily mean that their suppliers were not testing on animals.
Exactly. So we demand quite a lot of them now, and they have to go through the procedure. And, you know, we're still getting companies every single day. We have companies asking to be on our list. I must just say that to have their name on the list is free.
It is free, yes. That is something that a lot of people have a misconception, that it costs a lot of money to be accredited. One thing that I'm very passionate about is the China issue. Will Choose Cruelty Free allow any companies selling in China that are so-called cruelty-free or saying they are cruelty-free, will Choose Cruelty Free list these companies?
No, we refuse to list companies that are selling in China.
Why?
Because China's regulations are such that they have to test any imported cosmetics.
So that means if an Australian company wanted to sell their products into China, the Chinese government will then take those products in and test them in China,
yes,
even if they're cruelty-free here?
Yes.
Right, so that would actually take quite a few companies away from the cruelty-free status, wouldn't it?
Well, you might say that, but that's not true. This China issue is well known, and they are teed up before they approach us. And they know that, and we can find out if they're selling in China. We have our own contacts in China.
Right.
So we can find out, and we do. And as soon as we find out if they've already on the list, we cross them off immediately.
Once a company's on your list, do they ever need to follow up with further sort of investigations? How do you ensure that they don't start testing, say, after they've been accredited?
Well, we have a reaccreditation system, which they have to go through the whole procedure again. We do that every so often. We start with companies that have been on for a while and so on. Many of them can't fill out the questionnaire this time round.
And so what, they're scrapped from the list?
Yes.
That in itself is quite an eye-opening problem, I guess, because it's showing the fact that companies, I think, would you say with, especially I see it with cosmetics, it's a very competitive industry and companies want to compete with the big brands, and that would mean introducing new ingredients that probably do need animal testing. Is that how it works?
Well, yes, it is.
Yeah.
New ingredients, and also if they combine ingredients together, they have to be tested again.
So if a company wanted to keep their cruelty-free status, they're, surely there's thousands of ingredients they can still use that have been tested in the past that are safe.
Well, that's the problem. You know, as you said before, the companies are very competitive, and that everybody—it's a multi-billion-dollar business.
It is.
So you can see that they're just trying to get one over each other all the time. And how they do that is produce new products and so on. And new things are coming out all the time.
The thing that I find quite concerning is that a lot of people say, oh, but it doesn't happen in Australia, that animal testing never happens in Australia. Do we test here in Australia?
We certainly test lots of things on animals, but not cosmetics. And we know that because...
But what about cleaning products? Are they tested here?
No.
So it's all done offshore.
Yes.
So just because people will say, but we don't test in Australia, that does not mean that the company is cruelty-free, because it could be testing over in another country and then...
Well, it could be. And unfortunately, we don't always know that.
Right. And most of the ingredients are coming offshore, which...
Yeah. Usually the ingredients good companies use are... you know, from reputable companies who have their ethical standard is usually outstanding.
Right. So what I'm sort of concerned about is that all these people are jumping on the cruelty-free bandwagon and saying we're cruelty-free. I mean, I remember as a hair and makeup artist starting out, before I knew about Choose Cruelty-Free, I was using MAC, which I'm so embarrassed to say I was using MAC, but back then, a young person, I was, 21, I'd go into the MAC counter and I'd ask them, so is this cruelty-free? And I was assured over and over again by the salesperson, yes, they are. I looked on the internet, it seemed yes, they said they were against animal testing. I later found out that they're owned by a parent company that do test and that they're also selling in China. How can young consumers... get past that? Like, how can they trust? What can they do?
Well, as you say, look, you can go into Myers or David Jones and ask the assistants, are they cruelty-free? They will always say yes, sadly. Very often they're not given the information. And it's usually people that have heard about it and who do not want to use stuff that's been tested on animals. They have our list. Our list is on our website, an app.
And phone app, so you can get the Choose Cruelty-Free on both for Android and for Apple?
Yes.
Okay.
And in a booklet. And the booklet is very useful because it gives you more information as well. And by the way, that's free of charge if anybody wants to contact.
So the apps are free. The Choose Cruelty-Free shopping app is actually free for Android and Apple phones. And the Choose Cruelty-Free list on the website is constantly updated. How many companies do you think you've actually got on the list at the moment?
Oh, I think about 300 at the moment.
Wow. Okay, so that's 300 dedicated companies that have taken the time and effort to fill in your questionnaire.
Well, and also they can take it a step further. The listing on our website, app, and in our booklet is free.
Right.
But we are a not-for-profit organisation, and one of our major fundraising is we charge a fee to use the logo.
Right. So is that like a licensee fee if you want to use a logo on your products? And
yes.
Rather than just say we're on the app, you can actually officially state.
Yes, that's right. You have to apply to fill out a license agreement, and we go from there.
Now,
our logo is instantly recognisable. In the stores. And as we've said before, there are plenty of little bunnies on products, but they do not have the bunny logo and the rabbit logo.
Your bunny is a sorry, we should, it's actually not a bunny, it's officially a rabbit. Your rabbit logo is actually copyrighted. You can't use that logo.
Yes, it is. It's a trademark anyway.
It's a trademark, okay.
But it was specially designed for us.
Okay, so the other thing I think a lot of people need to be aware about is that sometimes companies do put it on their products and they're not necessarily accredited by you. And I think what I'm saying out there to all you, all the listeners, is always double check with the Choose Cruelty Free Shopping Guide list. If it's not on the list and you see their bunny logo, contact them and they will get in touch with that company, because that is actually illegal to use the Choose Cruelty Free rabbit logo.
It's a registered trademark.
Now, the other issue I wanted to talk to you, Liz, was the issue about, does vegan mean cruelty-free?
Not necessarily. Vegan, there are two types of vegan anyway. People that are vegans for health issues, and the other is animal issues.
Ethical.
Or both.
Yeah.
And so, no, saying a product is vegan doesn't actually mean that it hasn't been tested on animals.
Okay.
So we are very aware of that, and we certainly have a long list of vegan companies on our list.
Yeah.
In the back of the booklet and on the website, we have a category for vegan products.
Right. So I think that's something a lot of the younger listeners need to be quite aware about. Just because a product has no animal ingredients in it does not necessarily mean it has not been tested on animals. They do not go always hand in hand, and that's something that we all need to be aware about.
Oh yes, for sure. I mean, it's like people say it's organic and it hasn't been tested on animals.
People think that if a company is organic, it is cruelty free as well. Does that, or biodynamic, that it is cruelty free? That's not always the case, is it?
No, it's not. It really isn't. As I say, we find these things out during the accreditation process.
Right. So with the accreditation process, just going back to that, what animal products are allowed and what animal products are not allowed? Yes.
Well, the ones that we allow are, for example, which is products that are vegetarian. They may contain beeswax, lanolin, honey, milk, casein, eggs.
How is that then, if they contain those things, how is that, like people, you will have people saying, but that's not cruelty free, but that's not really what Choose Cruelty Free is about. It's not about whether there's animal ingredients to that level. It's more about the cosmetic product testing level, isn't it? That's where people get confused, I think.
Well, it is, and we have people criticising us that we haven't got a totally vegan list. But the reason is, our list is for the general public, and many of them don't even know what a vegan is, don't even know what palm oil is, don't even know, you know, all of anything about testing cosmetics on animals. So it's baby steps, really, isn't it?
Trying to get the mainstream converted slowly over, and then if they take it to the next step, choosing vegan products, that's one step better.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Now, with the Australian government, I know, and I've been a part of this, doing the hair and makeup for your campaigns for this, the ban cosmetic testing law that we're trying to enforce, why is it falling on deaf ears? I mean, how many postcards have you sent to the Minister for Health?
Oh, well, goodness, I would say easily probably 250,000.
250,000.
But remember, we were talking about covering two governments,
right?
You know, Labour, when Labour were in, and also
Liberals.
Our issue is that we contact the government, and we continue to do this. And this year, we're making a huge effort, and we're going to contact the government regarding this ban, because we want it to happen. And, you know, the longer it goes on, the harder it is.
Well, other countries have done it.
Well, yes, there are a few companies.
For the listeners out there, the countries that have actually enforced the ban on animal testing of cosmetics in their own country, are there...
It is Europe, for a start. Israel.
Yep.
India. And New Zealand.
So does that mean to say...
Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. And Norway as
and
well.
And Norway as well. Does that mean to say that you're completely safe to buy any products made in those countries? Would that, I mean, that's the impression it gives, that if you buy a New Zealand cosmetic product. It must not be at all tested on animals. Is that necessarily the case?
Well, these procedures take time,
right,
to, you know, get going, really. So I wouldn't like to be positive about that. But certainly, once a ban is in place, then every effort is to organise that ban is really
enforced.
Yeah.
But then I heard somewhere in the UK that there's another legislation or bill that actually sort of is in conflict with the ban on cosmetic testing. The one where they test if it's if it's a medical grade or a pharmaceutical grade ingredient that they have to test, and even if it's used for cosmetics.
Yes. Well, it's true, because a lot of companies now go under the guise of use products that are also sold as pharmaceuticals.
Right.
So
they're utilising that, they're jumping on the bandwagon saying, well, we have to use that product.
Exactly.
But they have choices, correct?
Exactly.
It is for cosmetics, it's not for life-saving.
And of course, you know, the whole bottom line is cosmetics have been used for years and years.
Centuries.
Yes. And many of the cosmetics have been tested on animals in the past, but all the data's there.
Right.
But, you know, animals are a cheap commodity and they still use animals. Alternatives are coming through very slowly but surely.
Yeah.
And that's our basic aim, that there will be alternatives.
A lot of people, and I've come across this a lot of people don't even know what sort of tests are done to animals. Can you give us a brief rundown of what the tests are commonly done in the cosmetic industry?
Well, it's mainly for toxicity.
Right. And how are they conducted?
For example, rabbits are used a lot, guinea pigs, and small animals, mice, rats.
Right.
And they're usually, for example, the Dreyer's test, which is still happening.
Right.
A toxic substance is applied to the rabbit's eyes, so until they burn and they fester. Now, you can imagine, you only have to get shampoo in your eye to know how painful that is. But they're also used for different toxicity to do with cosmetics, and that is, they shave the skin.
Yep.
And the toxic ingredient is placed on the skin until
on raw
that
skin.
Burns.
So skin
raw
that's
skin.
Been actually shaved the top layer of their skin off.
That's right, and burnt. And that animal probably goes through both of those tests.
And what about, I've heard, the lethal dose 50 test? That's another one?
Yes, that's...
What happens there?
That's sort of worse, really, that animals are fed a toxic substance.
Yeah.
And they judge the toxicity by seeing if 50% of the animals die.
Wow.
And that can be on any animal.
Do you have a rough estimate of how many animals a year are tested on for the cosmetic industry that would be tested on?
It's in the millions.
In the millions.
Worldwide, it's
yeah.
in the millions, yes, for sure.
And is it true that they're retesting ingredients that have already been tested on?
That is happening, I'm afraid.
Why is that happening? What is the reason for that?
Oh, look, because they are old ingredients, and there are certain organisations that feel the need to retest.
So this is all so they can claim if somebody has a reaction that wasn't their fault, that's really
exactly.
It. And yet they know these ingredients may already not be so wonderful, but they continue to use them.
Well, yes, you have to wonder why cosmetic companies use toxic ingredients anyway.
I would say probably because they're cheap and affordable.
Well,
that's my opinion, but hey.
That's a very good point.
Now, another thing that I wanted to ask you about, your five-year rollover rule. A lot of companies say, you've got companies on there that I know used to test on animals or did test on animals. So explain why some of these companies are now allowed on.
Well, we allow them on because we really to encourage companies to stop testing.
So they have to have not tested, what is it,
for 5 years.
And they have to sign that.
They have, before they've approach us for
accreditation. So it must be 5 years of abstinence from animal testing?
Exactly.
And how do you know they're not going to test again when they get on the list?
Well, we test, we re-accredit and find out.
So they've got a sign and they've got a...
Yes.
So you
they have to go through the whole procedure again.
Right. So how often, like, is it every couple of years or every 2-3 years?
It depends, yes.
Right.
It depends. It's a very lengthy process. It's a much slower... last year we started re-accreditation and we are still waiting for some companies to fill out the questionnaire. And that we've waited because they keep saying to us that, I haven't had time to do it, and so on. So we have a lot of errors in that. There are a lot of... They're trying to just, I don't know, just...
wing it.
Keep us away,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, sounds it. I think the trouble is nowadays a lot of people have so many different suppliers. They're getting their ingredients from all over the place and... It's in the too hard basket, I would say, that choose cruelty-free demands that they go and get a certificate from their suppliers saying that, no, we do not test the raw ingredients as well.
Exactly. But we have companies that have applied for re-accreditation,
mm-hmm.
and I can tell you that they have sent us... probably about 200 pages.
Wow.
And we have to...
That's dedication.
The accreditation committee has to go through every one of those. But they get through and, you know, it's surprising. It is a bit of an effort, but it's worth it. If you're a company and you are ethical, you don't want your products tested on animals.
No, well, that's it. And I think it's really important that anyone that is producing a new company... that they do apply for the accreditation, because I think if everyone bands together and consumers can then always know that the only place they can go to be assured of choose cruelty-free status is to choosecruelty-free.org.au, it's a win-win for everybody. It's a international sort of standard for Australia saying, okay, the only way we can be assured a company is accredited, and that means they're cruelty-free. If they're not accredited, they may not be. But at this, so would you be encouraging every new company out there to try and get accreditation?
Oh yes, of course. I mean, and they want accreditation.
Yeah.
They have chosen their suppliers that don't test on animals, and they've gone to a lot of trouble as well. I mean, they have to do a lot of work to get to the accreditation. To be accredited, for example.
And the difference is, as opposed to getting certified organic, which costs an arm and a leg, it doesn't cost to do this. It is something that all companies can do, provided they are being honest about their animal testing status.
Yes, that's right. It's quite easy.
Well, you know, I think the message out there for everybody is to read labels, check for the bunny... Sorry, I should say the rabbit logo, be politically correct. It is the rabbit logo by Choose Cruelty Free, and ensure that it is the official logo. I'm losing my words there. That to be ensured that it is the official logo, but that is not enough. The next step is to go to the app or to the website and check that company is actually listed on the Choose Cruelty Free list. If you do that, you can be assured you are buying a cruelty-free product. And that doesn't just go for cosmetics. That goes for personal care products, including your things like your toothpaste, your deodorants, your shampoos, and even your cleaning products. I mean, how many people would use a cleaning product and not give a second thought to whether it's tested on animals? They are too commonly tested, even more so probably than cosmetics, because they can be so corrosive and so costly.
Exactly.
So I've waffled on enough.
I've said it all.
So I just want to thank Liz so much for spending the time to do this with me. As I said, this is the very first Living Safe podcast. So if we are a little bit all over the place, you'll have to forgive us. It will get more professional in time. But I just want to thank you so much for your time today. And it's been a joy. And we've stopped and started a few times.
We have indeed.
But we're
getting
fun. It's been fun. We've had planes going overhead and we've had dogs out in the back and guinea pigs in the other room, but we're getting there. And please, please go across and check out choosecruelty-free.org.au. This is Nicole for livingsafe.com.au, and we will see you next time.